Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who were members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today we celebrate Christ the King. Just to fill you in a little about this feast day, I quote from the Church Times. "Several theological and liturgical considerations account for the prominence of its observance. It concludes the Christian year with a climactic celebration that focuses on Christ as glorified Lord and King, a powerful reminder that praise of his kingship is always the theme of the calendar." It also means, this is not in the Church Times, it also means that we have a new lectionary, purple, this year. Many times it has been pointed out that every Sunday, by its name, is really designated as a day of Christ the King. In addition, this festival also deepens awareness of the final end of all things in the triumph of Christ. It brings the cycle of the liturgical year to an end, but looks forward to its turning again on Advent Sunday. Worship of Christ on his throne leads on to the message of Christ as judge. We're not unused to references to kings with the recent coronation and all the splendor that went with it. And whatever our personal views on that, it wasn't something you could easily ignore or bypass. But from a purely Christian perspective, the blessed ones are those who have seen a king who is not like the kings of this world, despite all that human monarchs may bring. They are blessed because they know a king who brings real peace, who sees the needy and who hears the cries of the oppressed. In God's kingdom, no one will be hungry, naked, sick, or alone. To bear witness to Christ as King is to be a messenger of this kingdom, to serve others and thereby profess the invasion of God's glory. What a wonderful thought that is, the invasion of God's glory. So, to be confronted with the gospel message of separation, judgment and punishment doesn't seem to be much of a jolly, does it? Welcome to church this morning. But firstly, we need to remember that God's separation, sorting and judgment is on a completely different plane to ours. What if, for Jesus, separation is not the same as exclusion? What if badness is not an obstacle to being in the kingdom, but neither is goodness a prerequisite? That sounds a bit more hopeful, doesn't it? Cornelius a Lapide, in his commentary, writes, he compares the elect to sheep because of their innocence, modesty, humility, obedience, and patience. The reprobate to goats because this creature has a fetid smell. It is fierce, immodest, lascivious. It walks in precipitous places, and it is quarrelsome. Well, I'd go along with the fetid goat smell issue, as cute as they can look. And please never think you're treating me, a non-meat eater, to goat's cheese, as it tastes to me like they smell. Now, is Jesus separating the good from the bad? Is he saying some are welcome and included in the kingdom, but others are rejected and excluded? Is Jesus keeping score of what we've done and left undone, and then handing out rewards and punishment? And if he is, are you in or out, a sheep or a goat? But aren't we all goats to some extent, as none of us is perfect? Have we not selected and judged in our lives from when we were first born to now? But what are these special distinguishing features we should be aiming for then in order to be classed as rather more sheep-like than goat-like? Could it be doctrinal soundness, a faith that could move mountains, an impeccable record of church attendance, gifts of the Spirit? The list could go on. But not according to this parable, it's not. What God is looking for is whether we have practically expressed the love of Christ through our faith in action, our response to people that shows care and compassion. I think it's important to remember that faith may not depend on works, but it ought to result in them. If we turn our backs on others, it's not that Jesus will reject us, but that we are fundamentally rejecting him. In John chapter 3, verse 17, and in 10, verse 10, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, Jesus says, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. But we're told that God will send out his angels to gather all the elect. In the passage under study, which marks the end of Jesus' eschatological discourse, the Son of Man has arrived with his angels and is now seated on the throne, where he is called the King, Christ the King. The portrait of Christ as King is a powerful one in this text. All the nations of the world have gathered before him to behold his majesty, and every nation will recognize the kingship of the Lord. And as far as separation goes, fear not. As if you think about the creation story in Genesis and the necessity of separation, God separated light from darkness, the waters above the dome from the waters beneath the dome, the seas from the dry land, day from night. God wasn't excluding, God was creating. Separation is at the centre of creation and life. And what if it's that exactly what Jesus is doing in today's gospel? Separating in order to bring about a new creation, a new life, a new way of being in you and me. It's not about sheep or goats, but about sheep and goats. Let's seize the opportunity today, this very day, and confront those goat-like parts of our lives. But see them as places of hope, growth, new possibilities, and more life. Separation is never final with Jesus, just conditional. Confront yourself through him, but never separate yourselves from him. Feed Jesus, the King, the Christ in your lives. Give him food, clothe him, and visit him in prison. We are the potential sheep of God of this age, so should live for Jesus. We must serve and minister to others, because in so doing, we are serving Christ. I leave you with this question. What are you doing about that? Amen.